Great
Welcome,
show.
welcome, 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 everyone. We gather tonight at the last moments of winter because everything is at risk and all is possible. Time of necessary miracles. And the image for Chiron is a magic carpet. So we have a magic carpet ride. So welcome, 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 confluencing of allies. And we begin with Ami Elegba calling it in.
Para su vaya. Para su vaya. Mama, can it away? Para su vaya.
Oof. So, Legba, feel free to chime in, Ami. That's calling in our wits from the great disbursements. Whoa. Because I
Yes,
don't know
opening the
about
roads, yes.
all of you, all of us, but we have there's a phrase, the gloom and the panic were upon us, right? And how do the Irish phrase that, Sean?
Well, the wonderful thing about emotions in Irish is it's never fear, it's never I am afraid, it's never I am sorry, it's never I am happy. It's fear is upon me. Sorrow is upon me, ta brón orm. Joy is upon me, ta áthas orm. And so it's upon you. And likewise, there is no possessive tense in the usual sense. It is ta leabhar agam. There is a book toward me. Agus is Misha aglaur. I belong to the book in the same way. So we belong to things and we are toward things and they are toward us, and hence comes belonging.
Oh,
But
cool.
also, when panic is upon us, we can remember that what's actually upon us is the funky scent of Pan. And when we smell Pan and when we hear Pan's wild music, we have a choice. We can tense up and try to resist, and then everything in us will tremble against our resistance. Or we can let loose and we can dance and we can move with the music and move as the scent moves us. And then instead of being panicked, we are with Pan.
Yes, we're here to find our rhythm, to recombobulate exactly our Saturn, our authority, and our animal vitality. We have many fun things for all of us because we want to, rise up aroused. Ooh, there's much to be aroused about. So we have that feast. But I felt, I run it by yourselves too. We can be every moment as we self-observe, it can be like la la la, and then, oh, the panic, the constriction is upon us. And then we go,
Yes.
Pan, Pan. All of us who insource our authority, we're sucking the chi out of authoritarianism, right? So our Saturn. So because it has been so jumpy, there is, please confirm your speaking language. Is it Arabic? Right. What just came in here? How interesting. Okay. No, I wish it were. There was just a little thing there. So I felt, to Elegba, and then we gather our wits, and there's this Saturn mudra, just hands clenched, not tight, left, and then right over left. And it's sort of a mudra. And in this mudra, it banishes all fear. So these are things we can try at home, but even just right now. And just a couple of breaths to arrive here, inhale the Saturn color, which is blue violet, like, and then exhale self-possession to all beings, and again the blessing I always use when I get into challenging contrarian circumstances, may we all awaken tomorrow self-possessed rather than merely possessed. There we go. Ah. So the tale is told of Saint Patrick, right? The apocryphal tale that Saint Patrick is invited to a dinner where he's given a cup of poisoned wine. And so what he does is he holds the poisoned wine up to the light, and the poison rises to the top like froth on a Guinness, and he blows it off, wah, and quaffs the drink. And toasts everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, a real initiate.
Oof.
Well,
Yes.
we've all been given a cup of poisoned wine, and it's the end of winter on many, many levels to metabolize poison. We want a little of the astringent. But again, in the trickster model, we're here to syncretize all of our trickster beings from animal and plant vitality to get ready for what is unfolding before us, right? And so that trickster quality of oh, space out, teammates, what was I about to say? There we go. Ah, right. So what Patrick doesn't do, he doesn't go, oh, I hate poisoned wine. And he doesn't drink it. No, he metabolizes the poison, right? And so again, all these things that we kind of accumulate, we're going to take into ourselves to prepare for this wild journey. And you are going to bring in, there's the Saint Patrick story, and you are going to bring in Sean Sheila's bliss.
Sheila's brush,
Brush,
yes.
brush.
Yes.
And
So Sheila was almost forgotten, except that she is remembered in Newfoundland. And then a few years ago, the great folklorist Shane Lehane uncovered interviews and stories from people in the 19th century that reflected that actually Sheila's Day was a tradition in Ireland before the Great Hunger. And St. Patrick's Day and Sheila's Day fall right in the middle of Lent. And so they were the days when all of the Lenten restrictions were removed. And so on St. Patrick's Day, very often it would be the men who would be out celebrating. And then the next day was Sheila's Day, and that was the day for the women. And in Newfoundland, they remember Sheila still. And if it snows after St. Patrick's Day, it's called Sheila's brush, because the snowstorm she's bringing in is that brushing all the remnants of things clean so that you can then enter into the springtime with everything made new. And so too, on St. Patrick's Day, there's a tradition of watching the sunrise reflected in a bowl of water, and that reflection of the sun being the blessing you would be taking in just as the world began to move a little bit closer to the brightness that comes in the months to follow.
Yes, again, gathering from all these different qualities, we gather that in, and then, we'll honor ancestors and people we wanted to invite in, but we're gonna have a short clip of David Graeber, just meeting the lad, and he died all too recently and all too soon. But again, about insourcing Saturn authority for what is before us. We know it's a very dangerous, tippy time, so it behooves us to animate in the desirable way. We're moving into huge changes to animate those in the desirable way, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors, right? So we start with a clip from David Graeber.
To be an anarchist is not to respect authority.
No, I think to be an anarchist is to be critical of authority and to always examine
Where authority
authority.
is just by definition.
Well, no, to always examine authority critically to see if it's legitimate.
Yeah.
And I think there are forms of authority that are legitimate, but you don't worship authority as a thing in
Yeah.
itself. I mean, for example, take I like the notion of self-subverting authority. I think there are certain types of authority which undermine their own basis, and I think those are very good. like a teacher. If you're a teacher and you teach someone very well, they know what you used to know, so there's no further basis for your authority. What I think anarchists have problems with are relationships where one person is always subordinate. I think that structures of hierarchy, if you give people complete impunity and power over others, it creates a psychological dynamic which is almost sadomasochistic, you know?
Deep.
Useful to keep with us. Useful to keep with us. These issues are on our work table, absolutely. And right, when somebody's subordinate, it's why, you know, everything is being restructured, all ways in which we gather. Pluto has entered Aquarius, right, for the next 24 years. And so it always brings up the shadow. And we know that tyranny attacks community, because tyranny is the toxic mimic of community, which is a cult. There we go. So we are here to insource. And another, you know, part of David Graeber, I'm just running across his work, The Dawn of Everything, and many things like I want, this is again one a great friend I never met. And, you know, and he had a short clip, you know, what is anarchism? And he goes, it's democracy without government. And everybody hates government but loves democracy. And he said, it's not to believe that this will happen, but it's not to believe that this won't happen. The idea of without an external structure that intrinsically people would relate in a manner of mutual aid and caretaking. I love, you know, Bo's commentary on YouTube often, and he has one in which he goes, affinity groups, usually about 13 people just in your neighborhood, you know, and he said he's in the panhandle of Florida. So he said his affinity group is, you know, kind of half small C conservative Republicans, and the rest are hippie anarchist radicals, right? And the deal is they see something like, oh, there's a pothole that needs filling. We could supplicate the government, or who knows how to do this thing, right? So it's a different definition of what is the function of government. We all want to wonder, maybe to engage in worthy experiments and to create safety net. We want to define all these things. You know, but then neighborhood, actual community. Mm. So I love working with Ami for a million years, because it's like we put things on the table and then it's like, okay, call it in Saturn, which is Obatala, anything you want to say, and then sing.
Yes. I mean, I think it's so apropos to what you're talking about, like how we don't get duped into this place where we're subordinate, as if we're calm and cool of head and collected, so that we can see all of these overarching structures that try and keep us subordinate. And Obatala, my dog is chiming in too. Obatala keeps that cool head. Can you explain Kulu Kulu, Caroline? It's so important.
Yes. It's very important, Saturn, and it's part of our getting ready for our journey. So the word cool, you can chant along if you've heard me say this a lot. The word cool, popularized in the 40s by jazz musicians, you know, is a Yoruba word, kulu kulu, and it meant completely responsible. You know, the cool guy or Gaia took care of the community. You know, the cool musician was just the instrument, the musician, the divine. No celebrity, no overplaying. And the Yoruba said, you know, in Yoruba, as in English, it means cool like temperature. And the Yoruba said, you know, language is magic. It's one of our first great technologies of participation. How do we participate? And so they said, and this is something, again, to take with us in practice, to imagine, you know, right now, our heads as cool temperature, right? And move all the heat in the head to where it belongs, which is the heart. So it's cool head, warm heart. Opposite of road rage, which is hot head, cold heart, right? Cool head, warm heart allows all of us to enter into hot situations as agents of cool out, response rather than reaction. So,
And the energy of Obatala is very slow. So, Baba Fururu. Herere oro oba kanyenye elejibo ileifa obati basa wo eriborere bati bawo enuaye Loro, unless you can, hey, and no, I am me, Mose, oh, and no, I am me, Baba, oh, ba, ta, la, ta, winnie, se, de, gude.
Calling in Saturn, our own Saturn, our own wise leadership. And as ancestors have known, and, you know, as Norhal says, deliberate celebration of the change of season stirs the creative powers of the psyche. And if we don't know what to do, call in what does. You know, we are humbled by the horror of the world, calling it in. So I consulted the I Ching. I like Stephen Karcher's version because it takes it back, taking things back to the liberating animistic realm, talking about the underworld ghost river. You know, and so I go, I Ching, what is the complex quality of now? And they said, retiring, withdraw, retreat. We go, right, so we in self-possession, gathering, focus, our wits, heaven energy and dragon force, right? So we're syncretizing. Syncretism is a sacrament. All the qualities of vitality as we move into this Mars time that we want to suffuse us, accompany us, you know, and how we animate our relations to the world. So the I Ching said, leave small people behind, and talk to the tiger spirit. It is a time of animal dances and transformation rituals. Let's pause there because we happen to have a great tiger video. Here we go. Yes. Okay. We want to take that to playing. Yes. Right. Playing with powerful, dangerous things, but playmates underneath everything, dancing. You know, how do we animate things?
Yes.
We were talking about this with the panic and the gloom that can come upon us. And sometimes, I mean, the enormity of what we're all addressing in the field of grief and all, is so strong that sometimes just little things, you know. You know, it's said in Bali that Dayudatu is the evil sorceress of planes that fall out of the sky and injustice and the stuck drawer, right? It's the little things that, you know, and how we animate the world. Are we animating it as an opposition? You know, we want to let us compost the addiction to having an enemy, even if it's just the putting your earring in straight. And what I've found, you know, in this animistic realm that is unfurling in all of us is if something's stuck, I just go, cooperate. And it's like, okay, another little magic thing to try. So the I Ching said, animal dances and transformation, check out the tiger playing, like, ooh, play with what is dangerous, you know, make it your friend. And it said, excellence through retiring opens the way, gives you a lot to do, have no regrets, the way is open. So we're sealing our boundaries, and if we entertain the possibility that we're moving into a field, we'll get to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction of April 21st, which follows the eclipse, we'll get to all those things. You know, if we entertain the possibility that we're moving into a field of huge changes and enhanced synchronicity, then for each of us now, to kind of focus and calibrate, then what's the quality? What's the quality of what we all want to connect with? You know, that thing. And then the I Ching changed from 33, which is retreat, to 56, sojourning at the borders, wandering outside the normal network and on a quest of one's own. This is a theme. Pluto will station at 2 plus Aquarius, whose image is, a deserter from the military following their own wilderness path. When Aaron Bushnell immolated himself, we just have a year he was born, not a day, but Neptune that year was at 2 Aquarius, deserter from the army following their own wilderness path. And as Pluto stations there soon, meaning spends a long time there, may we waft that out into the world, that all desert from the military and follow their path back into the wilderness, to honor his terrible sacrament, at least in that way. And we go, right. So that is part of and then animal vitality, right? This is the time when the sun moves into Aries, right? And what is positive Aries? Positive Mars, right? Deserted from the military, following their own wilderness path to the wilderness. So we just have some fun, to syncretize into all of us, some animal vitality, some animal vitality. So first we have a crocodile in four-wheel drive. Just feel this. Just that's vital. That's vital. It's like just a little bit of that, just a little bit of that. That's excellent, right? And then, so I think before we go to right, that we have other animals here, but there you were going to bring in Ogun, power of animal vitality, which we want to be full of,
And it's
full
so
of.
amazing because, Ogun is the nature spirit of the wilderness, of the forest. And so when you go onto your wilderness path on your own, you need to rely on the animals. You need to befriend them, these unlikely allies, so that you can make your way through in the dark, in unfamiliar territory. And I was just in Florida, and there are alligators and crocodiles everywhere you walk, next to the sidewalk, all over the place. And so you have to really be very conscious of your surroundings. And so you need to ask Ogun to be, helping you with this. So,
Oh, because talking to first responders and fire responders, what they say is like for somebody to pull over to the side of the road and help somebody, for somebody to, you need to be aroused. Aroused. It's a Mars thing. Like, some of that vitality. I just think the crocodile is a hoot going, ooh. It knows who it is, right? And then in a very different flavor, but it's just too wonderful, just to part of our thing. We have a possum, the amazing cat. So here's another quality. We have crocodile, and now here, just if it, you just take in some of it if it amuses you. Here's possum, the cat.
Wow.
If it amuses anybody, just take in some of that. That's right, which is very, it's a guy, but it's very Oshun, right? Because we're very gender fluid and very equal to and fro. But that cat was into it. I mean, that was a
beautiful
collaborative. So
we have to just sing to her right quick. For Oshun Iamileodo. Yamile odo boba she ise mi sarama hoe yamile odo. And you know Oshun, she laughs and she cries and she's full of joie de vivre, so she loves that cat, honey. That's her cat.
Self-possessed, you know, yes. Again, you know, and so we're here equal night and day, you know, equal sun and moon, which is why we can have eclipses, you know, and then we're heading towards the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is equal. Everybody, everything has equal rights because that's just how it's got to be. You know, again, the necessary miracles of that. So just, I love this NASA woman scientist explaining the origins of the moon. So this is what science thinks now, that there was a planetary body that they had no name for way back, and it was shaped like a bow tie. This is NASA, right? And then it struck, and a moon forms within this, you know, it becomes a sphere, and the moon forms within it, and they called it Synestia, because it's after the goddess Vesta, because it's our future home. So it's the Earth, and then the moon is spinning inside the Earth. And then there's another strike and the moon out. And so the NASA scientist was saying, so the sun, the Earth and the moon are twins. They were one thing that then became two things. And at an eclipse, they become one thing again. This is a theme we want to keep going here, which is things start off as one, they go out, you know, the diaspora, and then the simspora. Mm-hmm. And I think you were going to speak about Amargin.
Yes. So Amargin was the first person to speak some form of the Irish language in proximity to Ireland. He was one of the sons of a Spanish chieftain. And they sailed north along the lines that connected places that had once been one, because Ireland and the Iberian Peninsula before continental drift were one, and all of the oaks of both places are close kin. So he of one group of the kinship of oaks sailed to the land of another. And the Shining Ones, great in power, who were already there before he arrived, called up a storm to drive him and his people back. And they were driven back beyond the ninth wave. And then he remembered the fullness of all of who he was and all of who he had been, every life he had lived. And that made him remember his kinship with everything. And so he stood at the prow of the ship. And he said, I am wind on sea, I am thunder of ocean, I am roar of sea, I am stag of seven battles, I am hawk on cliff, I am teardrop of sun, I am fairest of flowers, I am boar of valor, I am salmon in pool, I am lake in plan, pain, I am mountain and man, I am word of skill, I am spear with sharp point. I am the one who puts fire in the head of people. And then the land recognized him, and the wind recognized him, and the water recognized him. So the storm calmed, and he and his people came ashore. And as they stepped ashore, the hawthorn bloomed to signal a new world coming into being. And he called up that world of deep forests, of fish-filled lakes, of bright skies, of fertile soil, and made it a home for his people.
Yes, right. So, yes, I've been the guest of 100 kings. I've been the glint of light on a wave. I've been a boar in its boldness. You know, all of us, you know, we've been everything, right? And, you know, bring it on back in, you know, and, we might be moving around a little bit, Ami, but maybe we want the ancestor song, do you
yes,
think?
Yes, yes, yes,
so,
yes.
So think of, you know, the King Arthur's court was an experiment to have spiritually cultivated people engaged in governance. But what happens at what passes for the end of the Grail legend is all the hip people go away. Merlin goes off with the nymphs, and Arthur goes off with to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses. But to await a time of great danger, you know, now would be good to be invited back. You know, the positive Mars Yang to dance with the equally, you know, powerful Venusian within us all. Right.
Yes.
So myths don't really end; they get put on pause and we hit play, you know. So think, I've had so many dear friends die that I wish I could converse with them now. Sometimes I call their phone number, sometimes they pick up, right? So in the dream world, you know, conversations to be had. So as Ami sings the ancestor song, you know, we're calling back, but also call in, you know, all the positive, you know, people we know who have died that we love. We cannot live through them, but we can invite the best in them to live through us. You know, mythic figures, animal figures, plant figures, you know, what is it to be human? We wonder. It may be that it's the opportunity, responsibility to borrow qualities of intelligence from flora, fauna, you know, and the ancestors. So you're going to call in the ancestors with this song, Ami?
Yes.
No.
Listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath when the fire's voice is heard. 'Tis the ancestors' breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never, never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath When the fire's voice is heard, 'tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Ah, shh.
Yeah, invite in what we need, you know, the syncretism. Our whole lives are art, you know, and syncretism is a sacrament. And where I got this theme of the diaspora and the simspora, you know, we carry these nuggets of conversation and insight with us in our magic backpacks. And it was years ago that I was mentioning to my friend Marcelino, who was a santero from Cuba. I go, oh, the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot did this great job of syncretizing, you know, Ifa from Africa and the Kabbalah, mystical Judaism, and Voodoo, you know, in Santeria in New Orleans in the Caribbean. And Marcelino said, that's because they started off as one thing in Africa. And I'm like, oh, that's great. So it all starts off as one. So the people who put the tarot cards together thought, oh, we will put this together, but it's because they actually wanted to go back together. Everything that was one thing, remember Deborah Falmouth in Syria and Vermont says, you know, salam, shalom, salam is not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of oneness, right? We start as one. We diaspora, 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 different people, different cultures, different languages, different things, different food, you know, and sometimes it gets authoritarian and sketchy way out there, you know, and then we call it in. So Ami just did, come on back in, come on back in. It's, you know, keeping all the value of the unique journey. It's the part of the Mabinogi and the Welsh tales I often use and which gathered in 10th century, but much older. And the elders get together and go, uh-oh, the men just found out they have something to do with children. And things were going so well, community, everybody looking out for everybody. And we can see what's going to happen, that people will set forth on their separate thing. And women and children will become property. Note that Ghana is dissolving its ban against feminine
genital mutilation.
Yes, exactly. There's many things, you know, then the Roe v. I mean, all of that. And anyway, so in the 10th century, they said, and people will set forth on their individual until they lose kinship, not only with each other, but with the earth herself, until the earth might die. They wrote pre-10th century. But then at that point, some people will keep all the value of their unique journey and their heritage, but come back into oneness and accord. They go, right. So, yeah. So the diaspora and the simspora, you know, it's again the exhale and the inhale. It's one of the early forms of meditation, which is you know, exhale creation and you inhale all of creation. And when I was part of this quirky school called Arika, we were doing these exercises. And then at a certain point, we went to the desert. Each person went alone to a completely white room with nothing else for 3 days. Mm. And I brought a little bit of LSD in with me. So it was perfect. And I realized, like, all you need is a white room and LSD in 3 days, and you can be like, whoa. And so doing these exercises, and I, you know, I think I just brought in water and not even any clothes, right? So then a little bit of LSD, and then just inhaling the universe and exhaling, and you find your balance and your rhythm, inhaling, and it's like, ooh, this is like being born, this is like giving birth, this is Middle Eastern dancing, this is undulating, this is how it is. Ooh.
Yes.
So inhaling and exhaling, and it's like those were three of the happiest days of my life. I mean, anyway, that again doesn't take much, right? Just so we have all these things, but
and the molecular ancestors of LSD and psilocybin and serotonin all co-arose when the first breathing began to happen in the world.
What?
And so they remind us how to breathe.
Really? Say that again. What does that mean?
So when all of a sudden there were all these plants in the world breathing out oxygen, things began to rust. And so new molecules developed to start to slow that oxidation. And one of those molecules was the precursor molecule of this molecule of consciousness that exists in trees and in animals and in the mushroom realm and in the bacterial realm, and has its forms as serotonin, as psilocybin, as the ergot compounds that become LSD. And so when people engage these medicines and they feel like they see and feel everything breathing, part of it's because they are remembering this is how everything began to learn how to breathe. And
Brilliant.
so we conspire.
So I'm going to bring up the chart here because we're speaking it. We're speaking it. We don't need astrology. I just love that we're all speaking it anyway. So just as you're bringing it up into play, so this is the chart of now. This is me outside DC. This is the Earth. Here's all of us. This is the horizon line. And then this is where all the planets are. So I just wanted to bring them into play. This is the choreography of creation. So as you were speaking, I noticed there's what's called a grand trine in Earth on this equinox eve. And it's Jupiter and Uranus getting closer and closer together until April 21st, the two biggest path openers, for necessary miracles. But again, it requires our participation. None of this is what's going to happen. It's what's available with which to participate. So this is, a culture of reverent ingenuity rising from the rubble, could be completely, but it's also tippy. It's dangerous and tippy. It's why we're here, because, times of great change, people want to go, oh, strong man, authoritarian. We go, no. So Jupiter and Uranus are trining 120 degree angle Ceres Demeter dwarf planet. And Ceres Demeter is the founder of the Eleusinian Mysteries, longest theatrical, initiatory rites, in human history. And then Ceres trines little asteroid Juno in Virgo, everybody doing their weird, everybody playing their role, and back to the stories from the earth, the guiding stories from the earth, the humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. And if you do a Google search on Ceres Demeter, the image that often comes up is it's her holding sheaves of wheat for disciplined Eros, and the snakes are coming up out of the earth and whispering their secrets into her ears. Again, now we have the undulating, the inhaling and the exhaling and the undulating and the participating that way. And she's the founder of the Eleusinian Mysteries, in which people would gather, they would march to Eleusis, chanting to Dionysus, the green man. Green man is back, green man is back. They'd arrive at Eleusis. I think it was a 9-day ceremony. They would drink a psilocybe mushroom ergot brew, basically psilocybin LSD, dance all night. And then everyone had a personal insight just for them that they weren't supposed to share, right? Eliphas Levi says to know, to dare, to will, and to be silent about some things. And then everybody had a shared vision of Persephone descending into the underworld, a maiden, returning an initiated queen. And it turns out that queen is not a snooty title. It was one of the first words for a woman in her cultivated fullness, in her initiated. And it's for everybody. Again, we change genders, but it was the initiatory descent to the underworld and the return. And so the underworld sacraments, right? I always quote Buddy Paul Stamets, saying that we're in this time of science proving folklore, right? That Johns Hopkins is saying, the studies on psilocybe are showing that they increase curiosity, confidence, and kindness. They calm down the amygdala, right? Cool out the brain, and increase curiosity, confidence, and kindness. And Stamets says those are leadership qualities. They go, right. So everything's trying to help us out. Pluto, death rebirth, has entered Aquarius just now for the next 24 years. Pluto always explores the shadow of community is a cult. There we go. But real community, and right now Pluto is opposite the moon in Leo. Anybody, you know, you can see the moon. It's waxing, right? It's waxing for a lunar eclipse on the 25th. But this is a great thing. It's community that encourages the unique creative expression of the individual. You know, again, I love the model of the wolf model of leadership, which is they play every 20 minutes. It's the leadership model is who in it, the wolf that initiates the playful genius of the pack, as well as let's go hunting. And you can tell the lead wolf within 10 days of birth because it's the wolf pup with the lowest resting heartbeat, right? Obatala, cool wolf who engages playful ingenuity. So I love that model of leadership. Let's all take from nature what we admire. It's the only way to go. It's the only infinite game in town right now. You know, and so coyotes, I've lived with a wolf dog and a coyote, very different people, but they're mating now. And coyotes are mad geniuses, mad kind of Uranus genius, creative, innovative, you know, tear down walls, make walls, build stuff. And they're mating due to the pressure we're putting on everything as an evolutionary asset. So I love this. Wouldn't it be great in our idea of community that we belong to and contributed to a wolf pack? Because wolves, very disciplined. Everybody's got a job. They're playful, but everybody's got a job. So we all belong to and contributed to a community, a team that encouraged everyone's mad, unique, creative genius. Go, right, like that. Now we're into the, you know, entheo, anarcho, astro, animism, which is my current self-referential title, right? We would just want to put all the different chapters of our lives together. So I like entheo, anarcho, astro, animist, but put your own rhythm together, syncretism as a sacrament, all the different chapters of our life, everything we've done, you know, just, you know, gather in what's useful now, you know, and animate it. Like, what would it be like an animal? So they're calling the wolf coyotes, you know, coy wolves, but a friend suggested, and I prefer wolfote. Wolfote. So, you know, maybe we all be wolfotes. And so here's Pluto, the underworld, opposite moon and Leo. So all the rituals, we want everything that's ever helped humans to be responsible participants to come on back in. The psilocybin mushrooms are helping. I mean, everything wants to help the humans, right? And Pluto says, yeah, all the rites of initiation, you know, come on back in, come on back in, even if it's on Zoom, what the hell, you know, and, you know, many of us, you know, I hold up my hand, may have been to, you know, really bad, cheesy rituals, you know, but what I experienced was at a certain point, it's like, oh, this is so cheesy. And then it's almost like there's enough there that the gods go, it was cheesy, but now we're going to make it real. And it's like, whoa, it's real. It's like when I was in New Orleans with my friend, great astrologer Jim Lewis, and we went to the Voodoo Museum tourist thing, but cool, you know. And there was a sign on the room that said, "Pay $5, go back to see a real voodoo altar." And I go, "Come on, Jim, I'll spot you." And he's like, "No, no, I'm no tourist. I've been here a lot." And I go, "Come on, come on." And the minute we entered into the room, it was like, it was like, "Oh, whoa, it's real, it's real." The magic is under the ordinary everywhere. And that's part of what we're honing our frequency, you know, calibrated for. Where's the magic person? You know, Robert Bly used to talk about that, getting into a new town goes, where's the quirky poet? Bring in the poets and double the madness. There's somebody here. I can feel it. I can feel it, right? So the confluencing of allies, there's many great people here. I haven't had time to savor it all, but it's like the rapid response team. You know, some people I know, some I don't know, you know, allies, future allies, past allies, but it's like, oh, no, this is good, you know, to be a wolfote team. You know, and then just to point out, just to introduce, the planets represent, you know, living qualities of intelligence that suffuse creation and that reside in each one of us and connect us to the world. So just as we play with this, we go, ooh, you know, at this equinox eve, so Pluto opposite the moon, community that embraces creativity, contributing to the community, part of this renaissance. And so the sun is at the very last degree of Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac. And it's interesting, and Neptune, dreams, vision, imagination is right there. Power of dreams, power of music. Our word to dream comes from an old English word, dreamon, which meant two things, to dream and to make music, reminding us that making music is a way of participating in dreaming the world into being. So who brought what? It's like time to all creativity dedicated to community, and to kinship and across borders. And Jupiter and Uranus say participatory animism. It's not a belief system, it's just good manners, as though everything's alive. And there's the beautiful, I'll say it and translate it, beautiful little 60-degree angle here that says metaphors and music are especially eager to incarnate into actual molecular sensuality. And we go, right, ooh, okay. And then the last degree of the zodiac is interesting. Many people have been playing the Kogi prophecy of the winter solstice. Kogi are the elder brothers in Colombia who go, "You younger, or you're messing up, the world's on fire." And they said, "It is time for everyone to make their dedication by the summer solstice of 2024, which will determine, a year and a half later, the winter solstice of 2025, whether more than 30% of the earth is still alive." So they put that out, and I'm like, sounds reasonable. So I go and I look at the astrology of it and go, well, okay, so on the summer solstice, so here we are beginning summer, and it takes us to the solstice. Neptune will spend a long time at 29 Pisces, at the last degree of the zodiac. And it won't go into Aries. A lot of astrologers go, what about Neptune and Aries? It's like, it all depends what we do now, what we do in the dream world, in the music world, in the imaginary world, in the mythic world, in our dedication world. And then, so Neptune stations at the last degree of the zodiac. Sun's holding that place now. And then it retrogrades. It appears to go backwards and then station again, winter solstice 2025 at 29 Pisces. And then it enters into Aries. And it's like, well, that's intriguing. I'm not implying at all that the Kogi know astrology. It doesn't matter what we know. It's all in accord going, right. And it says, this part is as though all the flora fauna are meeting backstage, going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to participatory goodness, that has ever moved humans to leave the exile of their speciesism and join back into participation with the largest definition of community possible. And everywhere, for those who've been journeying with me and Dream Council people, this is your Tuesday. That's great. We're doing another one next Tuesday. Dreaming the news into being. The state of Israel was born, May 14th, 1948, and the sun was at 23 degrees of Taurus. And I go, ooh, Israel's having a Uranus transit. What does that mean? What does that mean about countries? But it's like land, the impossible thing. Uranus is a principle of absolute equality. It's freedom gained through loss. And it's a transit for all of us everywhere, but it's not accommodated by little small things. And it says we don't have to do everything, but we do have to consider doing everything. And we do have to consider things that are, logically unlikely, necessary miracles. This is about land-based. This is about the goodness in the land, finding community from that. The word indigenous means sprung from the land, right? May we become land stewards. And that transit to whatever it is that Israel represents, and it started August, September into October, part one of 2023, coming up this spring. And then the whole end of this year into 2025, it's long, it's huge, and I think, and it must be in our mind. And at this point, I think we want to play Bissan. just so that we always keep in mind the enormity of what's going on, our responsibility, the huge field of grief that we're all participating in, and that third world realities become first world psychosis, meaning it's all in us anyway. We must know, and part of our arising aroused is. So here's Bissan, somebody I love, and I love to follow, a powerful news storyteller from Gaza. Here she is.
This is Bisan. I'm okay. I'm alive, alhamdulillah. It's today 65 after 100 of this genocide and the day 9 of the holy month of Ramadan. And yesterday, the Israeli army, the Israeli soldiers, tanks and bulldozers invaded the Shifa hospital. It's not the first time they invaded the Shifa hospital before. It was out of service, by the way. And it's barely working only for the emergency now after more than 3 months of besieging the whole of the north of Gaza Strip. Now, thousands of people are displaced inside the Shifa hospital. It's like a shelter and a little bit like an emergency unit, you know, the whole complex, because the Israeli army destroyed the Shifa before. And unfortunately, yesterday, the Israeli army invaded the Shifa again, causing the killing of more than 20 people, arresting more than 200 people and besieging the people again. And by the way, they evacuated the Shifa, the people in the north of Gaza Strip, in Shifa, thousands of them, they were forced to evacuate to the south. They told them that the only safe path in front of them from the north of Gaza Strip, from Shifa, is in the south of Gaza Strip. Not even to any other neighborhoods or any other cities in the north. They forced them to be evacuated to the south of Gaza Strip. That's happened yesterday. By the way, the Shifa Hospital is invaded until now, until that moment. It's now 1 p.m. And no one can do anything for this, actually, because people are not allowed even to enter that square. And a lot of people, by the way, are killed, and still their bodies are still in the streets, because before invading the Shifa, they bombed a lot of homes around the Shifa hospital itself, causing the killing of civilians who were in their homes because they were not aware to leave. And another thing you need to know, that they dropped leaflets again telling the people in Rimal and Gaza City and the west of Gaza City and around Shifa Hospital to go to the south. They are dropping leaflets again. They are warning like a little amount of people who are still in the north of Gaza Strip to leave to the south of Gaza Strip. This is Ramadan. This is invading the hospitals, putting them out of service. This is killing people, evacuating neighborhoods, emptying the north of Gaza Strip. People are still starving because even the little amount of food that entered before yesterday is not enough. So we are talking about a disaster happening now in the north of Gaza Strip. Of course, they are shamelessly waving off entering and invading and opening the fire and starting the military operations in Rafah, but at least we're still until now without being under fire. I'm talking about the north of Gaza Strip. Shifa Hospital is besieged. People there are forced to evacuate. People are arrested. They're humiliated. They're treated very bad, and they are taken to unknown places. So unfortunately, we need to talk again about Shifa Hospital. It's not the first time to enter Shifa Hospital and killing people there. It's destroying of the civilian infrastructure, of the social infrastructure, because of the.
It goes on. I follow her always. She's indefatigable. And again, things we must know. It is a huge, you know, this is why we're gathering to get to arise, aroused, woofy, going, whoa, hands off Rafa, hands off Rafa. That it is a global truth transit, you know, and the Israeli government in its current form is part of that. They speak nakedly. They go, really, you know, Hamas hunt, no, we want all Arabs gone from Gaza. We want to create, this is the Israeli government spokesman, we want to create a catastrophe so that other countries take pity on the suffering people of Gaza and take them in, because we want all Arabs gone from our land. It's very naked. It's very naked. It's a revelation, but it's also people awakening, and even nature, where we go, Jupiter, Uranus, the stories from the land, and all of the effective animistic activist people that I've played with. It's always invite in the earth to express herself, partner with that which is larger than human. In Hawaii, when there was bad projects planned, Pauahi and many, they taught me that you invite in Pele to express herself, and the volcano goddess would erupt under the foundations. The Uwa people, in Colombia, when Standard Oil said that they were going to drill and destroy their land, the Uwa thought they would kill themselves. But then they were like, no, wait, let us remember, let's all remember ancestral ceremony. And they did deep ceremony, and they asked the oil to hide. Standard Oil did three drills, came up dry, and moved on. We go, right. When I was with the Council of Unreasonable Women and there was a plan to bury nuclear waste at the foot of Yucca Mountain, I was like, come on, team, let's invite Yucca Mountain to express her opinion. And they were like, oh, I don't know, we're kind of grown up. I'm like, oh, never mind, grown up, let's do this thing. It's again, everybody's wizardry explore. It's safer for people to come out as to who they really are now. We need all of our skills. And so we did. We invited Yucca Mountain to express her opinion. And the next morning, there was an earthquake at the base of Yucca Mountain, causing people to go, maybe not bury nuclear waste. So here's, lightning in Dubai making a commentary. Well, let's do it again. Look, can we play it again? Just because it's a map of Gaza. Can we play the lightning one more time, because it's so good? Oh, perfect, perfect. And just to say more about Chungo for those who don't know, positive
Yes,
is like, ooh,
Chango is the nature
lightning.
spirit, all about lightning and thunder. He's the one that dances and drums, and when you want to shake up the energy, and when you want to have transformation, that isn't about the wind, it's really about the sound, the thunder, the running of the horses, the bringing of the lightning and the thunder. It's Chango.
Ooh.
Yes.
And Caroline, when you're speaking the words about in times of trouble, people turn toward a strong man, I realize those are strange words,
Yes,
because
it
the
is.
ones we call strong men are
They're weak.
actually very weak men. It's a very weak man who needs to hold on to his authority by jailing all critics. And if we go back to the old memory, where all true sovereignty comes from wetting the land and comes only from the blessing of the land, which can be withdrawn. The world is much better when Arthur remembers that he's sometimes a bear and needs to go dream in the womb of the earth. And so let it be that in times of trouble, we turn toward true strength, embodied by all genders, finding true sovereignty in wedding to the land.
Again, you're speaking the chart. You're speaking the chart. Let me bring in part that Sean is speaking. What is available to all of us to carry through, to syncretize our cloaks, our being, how we want to be, what we want to feel like, what we want to feel like to others. So Jupiter, all right, metaphors for each degree of the zodiac. Jupiter's image is in the midst of a wild windstorm. A stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. Ooh. It's very many traditions, right? It's like Baron Samedi, you know? It's like whatever, and where in the Celtic world would that doctor magician be, do you suppose?
That is Manannán Mac Léir, son of the great sea of being, who carries a silver branch. And when he shakes the silver branch, you hear the song that sings all the worlds. And if you grasp the silver branch, you see into the well in the other world where all the rivers have their source, and you understand everything. And then your task is, having forgotten, learned that being human was a habit that can be broken. As John Moriarty said of his meeting with Manannán, he learned that being human was a habit that could be broken. And to venture off into all the other ways of being, and then to come back to yourself and make of that the poetry, the music, the art, the dance that can remind everyone else of that kinship.
And in Israel's chart, this is the north node of the moon. There is a magic animism, kinship to the land, you know, underneath everything that spreads, you know, beyond man-made borders. It's like, okay, two states, and then someday no states. Again, the planetary story says, you know, entertain this possibility. Right now we have Saturn, our authority, we're insourcing our authority, our obatala, we're defining wise governance. We are mythologically cultivated people willing to engage in the political realm as a sacred realm, meaning all that politics really means is dedication to collective well-being. And it is a powerful conundrum this year, but we go to the word inaugurate, which comes from the augur, very much this guy, part of all of us. The augur, the diviner, would walk out into nature and observe nature's storytelling and communication, whereby nature would go, "This person's good enough," or the best, whatever the thing, and then they would be inaugurated. So everything sacred, animistic, and powerful, etymologically and culturally, if we track it back to its original liberating impulse before it got orthodoxed or encrusted, tracking everything back to its original liberating impulse and looking at everything in ourselves and in the world, going, now what did this sketchy thing want to be before it got so far out in the diaspora that it began to think of itself as isolated and the tyrant thing? Yeah. So yes, point well taken. And then I just want to do a little dance here. Again, I'll translate as I go, but Jupiter, beautiful 60-degree angle to Saturn in Pisces, whose image is a sword in a stone, right? Now we've got again. So for each one of us, you know, when we don't know what to do, we get taken to the fairy realm, you know, or we follow our desire to the fairy realm where we understand what our mission is, and we are accoutred with whatever it is we need to dree our weird, to play our role in destiny. And it's right next to Venus, exalted in Pisces, our dedication to love, beauty, peace, kinship, and says it is powerful. Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. Taurus is molecular, sensual incarnation. So it says the, you know, our dedication, want, you know, our blessings are real. They are full of molecules. Entertain the possibility, you know, may it go well for you. And what comes up from the land, and where communities of many diverse people in South Africa and also in the Middle East, you know, we're living quite well together, you know, in many out of one thing from many, and many happily in the one, you know, all of that, and kinned with the land. I'm gonna forget the name of the incredible, wonderful mentor poet Alarir, who was assassinated.
Rafat. Rafat all out of
Thank
here.
you. Thank you. Right. And so he was giving a TED talk And he said, America, a settler, colonizer settlers. And he said that there's a tale told that colonizer settler comes to indigenous leader and says, "We own this land now, and we're going to divide it up." An indigenous leader says, "Then where are your stories from the land?" And he said the answer, of course, was silence, because they had no stories, right? This is, we live in a storytelling creation. Everything's telling us its story all the time by shape and color and song and rhythm. And if we just approach the world with informed, reverent curiosity, we'd be okay as a rogue species coming back into the dance, And that's the model also whenever you meet a crocodile, a person, a stranger, a demon. You always go, "What's your story? What's your story?" And then it's also blessing. From that land, it's a land of blessing. May it go well for you and for you. Deborah Felmuth and I, she knows so well, but it's all, the day is woven with blessing underneath all the violence, morning of light to you, and may the divine sprinkle your path with rose petals, and then you blessing poker, you go, "I see your blessing and raise you one. May the divine spread your path, and may even more and your children's children also, have the aroma of cardamom always with them," back and forth, to and fro, and there comes a time when things are so dangerous, from myth and all, that in Terry Pratchett's fabulous novels, the young girl witch is daunted because her mentor, Granny Weatherwax, a deeply inspiring figure, has died, and the young girl witch doesn't feel worthy to take on the stewardship of the land. But the danger is so great that finally she says, "All right, okay, I am your witch." And the land goes, "Thank you, you'll do," right? So for everybody to make their, wherever, whatever place you are, you go, "All right, I'm your wizard, I'm your witch, I'm it. W Thank you," says the land. Let us partner, let us invite in the lightning and the thing and the expression, and to partner in this way, and to say, may the it's said, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. We take it deeper. Tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. Love of the earth, which transcends, government stuff. I mean, all of that. So, yes. So, it is. It's hot. It's hot out there. Oh wait, but before we get to the heat, let me just do the cool out part too. So this is very beautiful, Saturn. Our dedication to beauty, our dedication to beauty and kinship, has absolute blessing and molecular reality. And that model of, again, just the small things of life. I was so moved in a truck stop in Syria with Deborah Felmuth, right? And just a simple thing, the young boy waiter says, "Anything else, madam?" And she goes, "Salam tek, only your peace." I'm like, "Oh, that's so beautiful. Is there anything else you would like?" Just try it out in Walmart. "Anything else you'd like, hun? Only your peace, madam." What in hell? We're American. We don't, but again, everywhere, may it go well for you. And every, well, this is a practice, right? This is why we're here, because this all takes practice, that we be agents of liberating blessing. And we know that tyranny runs on grievance as well as polarity. And tyranny does terrible things, which makes us polarity, and then it feeds on polarity. So trickster spirals, Mirabai, wonderful poet from 14th century India, was a heretic like many of us in a good way, would not obey the customs, and when her husband died, would not marry his brother, and the family was outraged, and she wrote these great poems, "Why Mira Can't Go Home Anymore," following her own wilderness path, right? And one of her poems is based on truth. They send her a poisonous snake, and she's like, "You sent me a poisonous snake? I wear it as a necklace. Thank you very much." Right, there we go. Dog and tiger playing. Dog and tiger playing. Cat with attitude. I mean, just it's cumulative. So this is a very beautiful dynamic this eve, the Saturn Jupiter. Sean and I have been working this, all summer, because they've been in relationship. Dedication magnetizes opportunity. Craft your vessel of dedication, and Jupiter says, I will fill it. And I've been in love since I learned about it all last summer, that the word vessel in all languages means container and boat. So our dedication is our alchemical container, and then we get in it and set sail. And the word craft, which means power from dedication, also means boat, right? Mm-hmm. So we craft our vessel, and then we get in it, you know, to navigate these wild seas, these mm-hmm. wild seas. And just the April 8th eclipse, some of us will see it. Some of us will just feel it, you know, but it's, you know, it's a magic eclipse for dangerous times. And let me just show what that is for fun, for deep fun. So I'm going to just bring up the chart of the eclipse, and I will again explain it. So an eclipse is a precise new moon, right? Again, equal sun and moon in sky. This is equal night and day today, equal sun and moon in sky. And again, the moon had formed inside the earth and then gone, you know, it is one thing, then many things. And then at the eclipse, it comes back together. And I think there's something that is so physically orgasmic on myriad levels about a total eclipse. It's you know, anything partial is like nothing. The total eclipse is like, oh my God. And I think it is part of what was one became many, now back to one. It's a wedding. And in this case, and we're headed there, you know, it's the sun at 19 Aries, the moon at 19 Aries, Chiron at 19 Aries, the little planetoid who is 2,500 years ago, the first mentor, the centaur mentor. So this is a Chiron eclipse, sun, moon, Chiron. Whoa. I love the Chiron myth to bring it up for many, many reasons. And it's useful to apply to our own lives. If we all did what we knew, we'd all be in great shape. But so Chiron, 2,500 years ago, he starts a school for future cultural heroes. He teaches Asclepius how to be the Greek god of healing. He teaches Orpheus how to play the lute. So healing and music and art were one thing. And the ancient world peers at the modern world and says, why have you tormented yourselves, you modern people, by separating things that belong together, right? Now it's Simspora, bring it back together. Healing and music, one thing. So Chiron starts his school. His students' tasks are impossible, and they always succeed after studying with Chiron. So I love this following bit. So in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a positive strategic advantage. Because if you're going to do something impossible, might as well make it a surprise. So just everybody put that in your pipe and smoke it, just part of the whole going, whoa. And I love that because how it composts grudges and resentment. Like, those people don't respect me. They don't know who I am. In this myth, it's like, that's excellent. You get into Chiron school. How fortunate. You sent me a snake I wear as a necklace. You don't know who I am. That's great. I'm going to Chiron school. Catch you later. Or see you later. Not if I see you first, right? All these fun riposts, right? So, and then Chiron, like Ceres Demeter, the two mythic figures who found these all important human rituals, you know, everything, come on back, Simspora. You know, and so Chiron, so Ceres Demeter founds the Eleusinian Mysteries, you know. Chiron founds the Asclepions, cultural centers of dream incubation, healing, and theater that really existed, that people went to 2,500 years ago. I've been to the ruins and coast. They taught astrology there. You know, and you'd go at a kind of like, whoa, drink rhodiola root tea, not tripping, Eleusinian Mysteries, mushrooms, you know, Asclepions, rhodiola root tea, just to come into focus as we're doing now, part of us, to Saturn in Pisces now and at the eclipse and this whole year. Saturn is dedication. Pisces is the dream. Dedication, dreaming. So each person would go to the Asclepions. They would dedicate to having a healing dream for themselves and their community, right? It went together, self and community. This is over and over again, over and over again. They'd get chanted down into the dream incubation chamber. They'd have a dream. We have records like, whoa. And then it was common sense at the time that everybody would only have the power of their dream, the power of their insight, once they gave external creative expression to this internal invisible thing, right? To give external visible expression to invisible experience is to glean its power. And so once they'd done that, they'd write a poem or sing a song or participate in a play or plant a tree, you know, anything that was dedicated to express their vision or their dream and their blessing for self and community. And having done that, they'd have the power of their dream and they'd go back to their communities as seed Renaissance people. So this is all bubbling now. Jupiter and Uranus is for each person to be willing to be an agent of, you know, dreaming the world into being, you know, and to see what synchronous opportunities and impossible tasks can happen, right? It's just again, it's the only game in town. So one of the things, an eclipse is thought of as also as a resonant field. We have the literal event, which then has a field, you know, that extends to now and a good 6 months after the eclipse. So if you're in a total eclipse, and this will be my sixth, I'm an eclipsophile, not like some people I know, but in 1970 I saw my first eclipse in Chincoteague, Virginia. Ah, amazing. So in an actual total eclipse, you know, it gets spooky. The moon begins to cover up the too bright light sun, you know, and the moon forms the sun into a crescent. So the moon forms the sun into an image of herself. And as that happens, the temperature drops, boom, and the winds come up, whoa, and striation bands of light sweep across the land. And it gets very spooky. And even the scientists are like, whoa. And then at the moment of totality, it's what was one became separate and now it's one again. It's like, oh my God, it's incredible and it's physical and it's orgasmic in some way. And then you see the sun and the jewel corona, and then you see the stars. And my friend Sylvia says, so before an eclipse, like now, it gets spooky, like, whoa, it's spooky, whoa. And after an eclipse, you can see the stars. You can see possibilities that weren't apparent before then. It's an understandable metaphor in the Middle East. Americans may be glumpy and not know about astrology, but Middle Eastern people and cultural diplomats do. So when George W. Bush gave Saddam Hussein a deadline, and it was right before an eclipse, that was a declaration of war because everybody knew that you can only see possibilities after an eclipse. Anyway, so here we are this time. So what is unique to all these things? So at this point, at the moment of totality, you know, all these planets, Jupiter and Venus, Mercury and Venus, you know, and the visible planets and Saturn and Mars will be in what's in the mythological cycle, in the underworld. They will be so close to the sun that we don't see them in the morning or the night sky. But at the moment of the eclipse, we will see them, right? At the moment of the eclipse, we will, you know, with a telescope, yes, but with the naked eye, you know, I'm going for 4 minutes, you get to see Jupiter and Mercury. You hardly ever see Mercury and Venus in the, you know, and Saturn and Mars, like, whoa. So we're seeing into the underworld. We're seeing what we normally don't see. And they have a lot to say. Jupiter and Uranus are on their rendezvous going, all right, everything real, everything metaphoric, everything a strategy. You know, eclipses always, you know, what do we want to be eclipsed by what? May cruelty be eclipsed by kindness. My again, fill in the blank, you know, may We'll prime the pump. But Mercury retrograde, but also we'll be reporting live from the underworld. And this is the conversation that the larger, wiser, spirits are having in the underworld. And now you can see them at this moment of eclipse, and to participate. What do you want eclipsed by what? And it's the power of dedication. So it's very connected to now. Now we have Venus in Pisces. Venus is in Pisces. Mars will be where Venus was. Again, equal Mars and Venus. I like throwing everything into the cauldron, the Pluto cauldron, the eclipse cauldron. Let's throw everything in. I think it's healthy every now and then I throw astrology in, going, what if it's just all a load of nonsense? I think it's healthy to do that. And then you go, oh no, wait, that was incredible. But throw it all in. And then each of us gets to put our vetting standards in place for what do we ladle out. For me, and everybody customized their own, like their own trickster cloak and their own trickster being. So for me, it's like, is it about any teaching or anything? Is it equal? Is it equal? Is it equal Mars and Venus? Is it equal humans and the rest of our kin? Can the truth be said without cringing? Is playful trickster welcome? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling, but for each person to form their own vetting standards, right? This is a death rebirth time, everything into the cauldron, and what do we want to ladle out? And again, it's humans, we can't possibly resolve the innumerable cruelties we've imposed on our kin by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle, right? So, like the Mabinogion, we set forth on this speciesism, like, oh, until the earth might die. And then it's like, oh, what a big mistake that was. Let us come back into participatory kinship. And Sean and I were talking about our beloved 1940s England mentor, Dion Fortune, who was hired by the British government to work with the ritualists to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion. Whole other chapter, but fascinating. But she said it was essential for our work to maintain an atmosphere of tranquility in our workspaces. And she's writing this as the bombs are falling around her. And she said part of our tranquility was our dedication, our absolute dedication to the desirable outcome. And she's earning this. Again, bombs are filing, and she's like, no, steady, steady. And she said, because if we weren't in that dedicated state of the desirable outcome, the tranquility was necessary. Otherwise, how could we have hoped to have been an element of stability for the nation's soul? And the conversation that Sean and I, had was, I go, Dion Fortune, a great ally. Not exactly a trickster, not a barrel of laughs, but and Sean said, yeah, it's the nation's soul rather than the earth's soul. And we go, right. So we love all of our mentors and we liberate everything. And we go, so right now, yeah, to see the earth's soul suffusing, the nation's souls and dissolving their separateness. Impossible, desirable miracle, but let's decolonize our imagination, lest we have been timid about dreaming big and playing fair. And we go, oh, so that's completely interesting. So that's the that's thus saith the eclipse. More on that in the fullness of time. But the world is on fire, in so many ways. The Arctic is a giant ocean of hot methane right now. Started last a week ago Thursday. Scientists are like, oh my God. Rio de Janeiro was 144 degrees on March 16th, right? Given heat index with humidity, it's like, whoa. Ooh. So we want to be cool. We want to participate in cooling out. We want to see the manta rays. Oh, great! Backstage was Grand Wazir, backstage Badger. The manta rays, and then Ami will guide us into cool. The deep beauty of the ocean. Do you want to say more about Yamaya just for fun?
Yes, Yemaya is the mother, Orisha. She's the one where all creatures come from her, the fishes. She holds the babies. She takes care of everyone. And so when you're in need, you go to Yemaya. And Asesu is the top part of the foam. It's the part of the ocean where the ocean comes and kisses the earth. And so it's when it's the calmest there, Asesu.
Right, and it's part of our experimental strategy to protect water, become like water, to protect wolves, adopt the strategy of wolves, to, you know, that we partner, we experiment, partner, and yeah, I can't. Yes, may evil be eclipsed by good. Many wonderful things over here, but thank you, karma. Also, the eclipse, the fact that Chiron is not only partile to the sun-moon conjunction, but exact to the minute. Yeah, it's really, really, really exactly. It's 19 degrees Aries, 24 minutes for Chiron and the moon and the sun. It's like the gods are like, let's make it really simple for these humans, right? Exactly. Call on all the traditions. Chiron is a centaur. He's a centaur mentor. Steve Behrman says, going to take a centaur mentor journey. Right. So again, that idea of syncretism, syncretism, each one of us, part human, part animal. What do we want to invite in? In practical ways, when walking on slippery slopes, gecko feet, just again, metaphoric agility. Right, and I will come back and read all of these wonderful comments in the fullness of time. There we go. That's really good. That's really good. That's wonderful. Yeah, Yemaya, Yemaya, right? She is my mother. You know, in Santeria tradition, there are all the Orishas, the forces of intelligence in nature, but it's thought that one is the daughter or the son of a particular Orisha. And this is real, right? Because there are a lot of, I knew I hung out in the Santera community in DC, but it was, oh no, it was a little infighty. I was like, no. But when I went to Cuba and was synchronously connected to Natalia Bolivar, who was one of the great women in the Cuban Revolution, but who fell out of favor with Castro because of her love of Paloma Mayombe, which was kind of the darker. Marcelino explained it as it's the spiritual equivalent of the colonizer's gun, right? It was a weapon, you know. But I had dinner with her, and she was like, "Would you like to meet my Santero?" I'm like, "Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes." And I'd always thought, you know, going Oshun, Venus, lovely, but really the ocean. And they do this great divination for me, with me, hugely best ever in many ways. And they, you know, and they go, Oba is here. They don't know anything about me, and my Spanish is not that great. I have a translator. And they say, Oba is here, and she salutes you because her work is late at night with the stars, and it's lonely, and she knows that yours is too. And you always try and say the truth. I'm like, that is so moving. And then they said, you know, where are your necklaces? You know, where are your initiation necklaces? And I'm like, oh no, because Yemaya is here and she claims you as her daughter. I'm like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. We have these affinities. You know, our whole lives are to be considered as if they were spiritual detective novels, with every affinity, you know, a clue worthy of wonder and honor. And all these different parts of us, and all the different chapters, you know, moving in. So, yes. So we're cooling out. We're cooling out. Right. Very wonderful. The chat will be very fun to review. That's great. Wherever those things are. Yes. 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 Oh, that's good. All right. And so, as we begin to Get in our craft. We've made our dedications and we get in our craft. We prepare to set sail. You know, that it is really, you know, critique is important, looking at reality, engaging in whatever, and being aroused. You know, again, whatever, part crocodile, part possum, part dog, tiger, part whatever animal we feel to be.
Wolfody.
Sort. What? Say what?
Wolfody.
Wolfote with the Wolfote. You know, Chiron's image now is a magic carpet ride. We love that. And then using myth, when I was interviewing Daisy Gaizan, reporting from Lebanon and the International Court of Justice and reporting on Gaza, and she said, well, the genie's out of the bottle and there's no way to get the genie back in. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In the Arabian Nights, the 1001 Nights, there is a way to get the genie back in the bottle, right? And she's like, oh. So I like bringing the mythology into the news, right? And I think, I just give this to everybody too. I think the way you get the genie back into the bottle is, you know, it's a trick, right? It's a liberating trick. I think it's the fisherman. I have to double check, but there's a number of ways to get the genie back in the bottle. Who says, oh, genie, you fearsome being, you know, you who are all powerful, I bet you couldn't now fit yourself back in this bottle. Oh, yeah? Watch me. Right? So metaphors are a way of participating and dreaming the world into being, going, you know, with the eclipse and the thing and the whatever, it's like, oh, yeah? Yeah, back in the bottle, right?
You know, but I wonder also, if you give the jinn freedom, if you give the genie freedom, what would the genie do?
Right. That's better. That's a better idea. Right. Right. And then we go, well, how does that work then? We get him back in the bottle. And then we go, oh, but let's give you equality, equal rights for genies, equal rights for genies. And the ifrits become no longer demons. Right. It's like the ending of the great movie, Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings, in which he talks the demons down into the ground to repent. And they're all liberated. Yeah, that would be good.
I vote for that. Genie freedom.
All right, so here we go. We're getting ready to set sail. Renaissance of reverent ingenuity, you know, rising from the rubble. Are we up for that? Yeah, so we're here. Eclipse, Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, summer solstice, portals. You know, and Uranus says to each one of us, really, you humans, and Uranus is quintile the moon right now, which is irresistible eloquence in the capacity to open portals between worlds, right? So everybody who would like irresistible eloquence on behalf of what they love, and Uranus says, I'm going to connect everybody here to the coolest things possible, inwardly and outwardly. And all I want to seal the deal is a statement of available and willing. Uranus says, available and willing. If we declare ourselves as available and willing, then off we go. And we have, that's right, before we get to Ami's song, we have an inspirational way of being. We have dog making music. There we go. That's a dog expressing his dream after having incubated one at the Asclepion. Right, he's giving outward expression to his inner experience. May we all be like that. So,
yes.
As we begin with the honoring of the gloom and the panic were upon us, now we're aligning with Jupiter Uranus. May the joy and the liberation be upon us. And Ami will sing us out with Orisha Oko, if you want to say anything.
Yes, and Orisha Oko is all about like the joy that we just got from all these lovely video clips, especially this last one where music and all of these ways that were artistic. Music is the medicine. And so Orisha Oko is all about the healing, the medicine, the gift of the blessing of the plants. And so we sing and give blessings to all of us and joy and rapture. Orisha Oko, Efefeira, wo, Tanima, Wimo, Wimaniwo. Orisha Oko, Efefeira. Wo tanimo wimo wimani wo modeni yo arao yo modeni.
como de viarro, como de niño. Ara oyo, orisa oko efefe irawo, tanimo wimo, wimariwo. Orisa oko efefe irawo, tanimo wimo, wimariwo. Yay!
Yes! Thank you, team. Thank you, team. Thank you, Confluencing of Allies. Thank you, Amakayla Gaston. Thank you, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Avi and Peggy and everybody out there. Okay. Wonderful. Yay. Sailing into the spring. Nothing can stop us now. We have what we need. Yes, we are available and we're willing. Yeah. All right.
Yay, team. Woo! Oh, and also come to Music is Medicine Festival. And if you're going to be in the California area, it'll be great fun. We'll have the dog playing the keyboard. No, just kidding. MusicasMedicineFest.com. Yay!
Yay! Yay! All right. Wonderful. Good night, team.
Good night.